Good afternoon. It's good. It really is afternoon. God is good. How many of you just felt the Lord really touch you this morning? Yeah, there's a number. Oh, okay. Go on, stand up. Go on, stand up. You felt the Lord really touch you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just stay standing a moment. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you that you walk amongst your people, that you love us, that your hand is upon us. There's no one here you've forgotten. There's no one who's kind of slipped through the gap. Everyone here, Lord, you know my name. Lord, I pray that just in these next few moments, you would keep filling us. The Spirit of God, you would just hover over us and you would open up our hearts to hear what you have to say to us so that we could be your people, not only in the building, but outside of the building, because your presence dwells with us. Grab a seat. Over the next few weeks, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that are dear to our heart as a church. I'm going to talk a little bit about worship this morning and being close to Jesus. But I also want to let you know, we've just done our offering. I talked a few weeks ago that we have the opportunity of buying this building. As you can see, we need some more space, so we want to be able to push the wall back. And we're going to take the first of our offerings up on, I was going to say Christmas Eve, Easter Sunday. So that's just to let you know. And what we're doing is we're not taking an offering to buy a building, okay? We are giving because the Holy Spirit is stirring our hearts. We're giving for what he's doing in this place. We're giving because of the thousands of people that have found salvation here and are seeing their lives transformed. And so we're sowing into the kingdom of God. But one of the things we need is a larger premises. And that's a wonderful need to have, but that's why we give, because the Lord is preparing a bride and he's preparing to return. And so we give into that. So that's what we're going to do on Easter Sunday. Now, if you've got a Bible, find your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 17. Phones count. There's something actually, you know, I know it's sometimes it's nice to just listen, but if you have your Bible, when we read it together, I think it goes in more. And if you're anything like me, I just want any way of getting the Word of God, not just in my head, but in my heart. So we're gonna, as we read, we're gonna stand. So why don't you stand and we're gonna read from Luke 17 and we'll start at verse 11. Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, that word master means commander, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. He gives them a command. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Grab a seat. I don't know if you've noticed, how many times as you read the Gospels that Jesus is passing by? And it's almost as if he would just walk straight past. But people have to get his attention. So they shout or they call out, you know, Jesus, have mercy on me. And you know, I'm English. I don't like to shout. You know, it's more like, you know, sometimes I think I can just, oh Lord, would you just touch me? Would you, if you just have a moment? But that's not the Bible. That's not what like people were like that. They called out, Jesus, have mercy on me. You know, there was a woman with the issue of bleeding, and she thought, I'll just quietly sneak up to Jesus and just touch the hem of his robe and I'll be healed. And she was. But Jesus stops and goes, who touched me? And so she tried to sneak up, right? But Jesus said, who touched me? He said, it was me. And he says, your faith has healed you. Go. You can't get away with sneaking up or whispering around Jesus. Look, you cannot have secret faith. Secret faith is no faith. Faith is what is displayed in our lives. If we have faith, we call out to God. So there is something for us to do. And if you're new around here, you might have noticed it's sometimes noisy. There's sometimes a little bit of excitement. You wouldn't expect that in church, would you? You know, people getting excited. People coming forward to worship, even dancing. And you might think, what is going on here? Why do we do this? The reason this is happening is because we're discovering that when we gather in the name of Jesus, when we enter his gates with thanksgiving, with his courts with praise, we get his attention. He notices what is going on. And he comes over and manifests his presence. That's why I said, did anybody get a touch from God? He notices us and his presence comes upon us. You see, you get the attention of those you love. That's why the psalmist says, shout joyfully to the Lord. Yell! You know, it's time to put off the kind of English or Britishness of us and shout to the Lord. Now, some of you don't know our journey, but we started off, you know, on this journey really quietly, just seeking God and praying, Lord, would you come? Would you fill us with your Holy Spirit? Would you be here? And we were just waiting quietly before the Lord. And then he came. And something quite unexpected happened. Joy. Joy started to rise up inside of us. Who knew in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy, apart from the psalmist? We didn't know. Because we'd been in a place of sleep, and as his presence came, he awoke us, and this joy started rising in us. You know, when his presence comes, we find the path of life. Nothing is too difficult in his presence. You know, I'm not saying don't work hard. What I'm saying is that sometimes life can feel like pushing a boulder up a hill. But when his presence is with us, suddenly it becomes much easier because we're not pushing the boulder anymore. We're walking with him. Last week I was away, and I was at a church called Avivi Miento in Bogota. And I just had the privilege, you know, last week in their morning service, 600 people gave their lives to Jesus. I mean, let me just put that in context. That's this room full of people in one service giving their lives to Jesus. And we were at lunch after church, and I was just saying, oh, I love watching the people go out. And you know, they give them, just like we do, give them a Bible and pray for them. And they said, yeah, it was amazing this morning. And then I said, 600, how do you baptize them all? And they said, well, the last baptism we did, we had 5,000 to baptize. And they said, we have all these pools. It takes 2 hours. I did the maths. They were doing 64 a time. 2 hours. People coming to Christ. Wouldn't it be amazing if that happened here? Do you want it to happen here? Yeah? You sure? Okay. Let's forget we're English just for a moment, all right? Everyone stand up. You're going to be, I went to church, it was worse than the gym. We're up, down, up, down. Okay? But this is very good for you. And we're going to make a shout, okay? We're going to say, Jesus, don't pass by, would you do it here? Okay? Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Jesus, don't pass by, do it here. Try again. Jesus, don't pass by, do it here. It always works better in threes. Jesus, don't pass by, do it here. Amen. Take a seat. He heard that. Now, of course, the problem is if he answers your prayer, we're going to need a bigger place. All right? That's why we're doing what we're doing. Let me be clear. Jesus is the healer of the sinner and the sick. The sin that separates us and the sickness that oppresses us. That's what Jesus came to do. A couple of weeks ago, lovely lady came up to me. I think it was first service, but I can't remember. She had her phone and she said, look at my phone, look at this. And she had a picture of her hand and it had eczema all over the hand and her hand was all broken and bleeding. And then she showed me her hand. She said, look, it's healed. That's what the Lord did here. She said, I came forward for prayer and the Lord healed me. You see, the Lord heals the sick. He heals those that are oppressed by sickness. Now, this miracle we just read is one of those miracles that we don't know where it happened. But what we do know is that as they obeyed Jesus, Luke tells us they were cleansed. They were healed. So they listened to what he said and they obeyed him and they were healed as they presented themselves to the priest. When we do what he says, miracles are released. You know, he's told us to push into healing at our services. Every week we call people forward to see the sick healed. And I was quizzing them while I was away last week at Bogota, and I said, you know, was it always like this? You know, did it people just always just get healed? And they went, oh no. In the early days, we had lines of people, of 1,000 people queuing for healing prayer. And they said it was just taking so long. And we were having to pray for them all and it was taking hours. And then suddenly the healing just broke out all around the room. But we spent hours and hours and hours praying for the sick. And as we learned how to heal the sick. And what I want to do this morning is, what we do here is we worship around the people and the Lord's hand comes on and heals them. But I want to add to your job description, okay? You've heard me say this isn't a spectator sport, that you're all involved, that as we all worship, heaven notices, the presence of God comes and heals. Okay, now, what I want you to do as you're worshiping, when we're praying for the sick and the Spirit of God is moving, I want you to keep one eye on heaven and another eye here. What's happening around you? All right, and if people are starting to encounter the Holy Spirit around you, I want you to ask them, hey, would you like to come forward? Can I take you forward? And you might go, well, how do I know if they're encountering the Holy Spirit? Well, sometimes you can just look around. People are in heaven. You know, they're just caught up with the Lord. And you might go, well, I don't want to disturb what God is doing. And what I would say to you is, now all you're doing is you're bringing them into the glory. You're bringing them into the presence. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. There's a step of faith. You might be looking and they're crying or they're shaking or they're kneeling or they're falling. And you can just say, hey, I could take you up. You could come up with me and step in and receive prayer. So is that all right? So we're going to start, you're going to, from next week, right? We're going to be up like this, one eye open, and starting to look, what is the Holy Spirit doing in the room? And if He's touching people, start to bring them up. Good. Good church. And thirdly, I want to... This is an interesting story. There were 10 lepers healed, but only one comes back. And I think that's why Luke tells the story. You know, why? Jesus says, where are the other nine? What happened to them? Where did they go? You see, I think this has echoes of the Garden of Eden, you know. Adam, where are you? I'm hiding. You know, it's so easy to take for granted all that's happening in this place. And it become the norm. And it's good that it becomes the norm. This has been going on for a couple of years now. But the danger is that we get to a place where, well, I'm sorted now. God has sorted me. He's forgiven my sin. He's healed me. I'm off. I'm okay. I can do whatever I like now. And only one comes back to give God the glory. You know, when God works in our life, we come back to give Him the glory. You know, I don't have this amazing testimony of being, you know, I wasn't a murderer or, a robber or anything like that. I was just a 13-year-old kid. But I have the best testimony because at 13 years old, He forgave my sin. I hadn't done that much. I hadn't had time. But I just remember being in His presence and I was dirty in His presence. And He came and His love washed me clean. And it all went. It was just like being cleansed from head to foot. And I gave my life to Jesus and I've walked with Him ever since. And I've never forgotten because, you know, I'm a 2x outcast like these lepers. They weren't allowed in society. I was an outcast because I was a sinner and I was an outcast because I was a nobody. I wasn't one of the beautiful people. I've got more handsome as the years have gone on. And Jesus forgave my sin and made me a son. And now I'm forgiven and I'm a child of God. And everything has changed. You see, we call to Him, Jesus comes to us, but will we stay with Him? And that's my question this morning. And this one Samaritan, when he saw he was healed, he returned and it says, with a loud voice, glorified God. Now, remember, they had to shout because they were a long way off because they couldn't come close. But now he can come close. He's still shouting. He's still glorifying God. He falls down on his face, giving thanks and worships Him. And what I want to say to all of us, will we be bold and glorify God? Will you stay walking with Him the rest of your life? You see, it is in the glory that we stay close to Jesus. The Son, Jesus says, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He only does what the Father does. Right, if Jesus can't do anything by Himself, if Jesus can't do anything separated from the Father, how much more us? How much more do we need to stay in the presence of God? Yeah, years ago, I always enjoyed flying. I don't enjoy flying so much. I get way too uncomfortable now. Okay, but if you really want to fly, the best way is in a plane. It's the safest way, okay? And you're flying at 30,000 feet and the danger is you might suddenly go, I'm flying now. I can now do whatever I want. and get out of the plane. It is not good getting out of a plane at 30,000 feet. And you know, some Christians are like that. I gave my life to Jesus. He sorted me out. I can do what I want now. And they get out of the plane and they go, life is moving much faster than it just was. Let me give you another example. When a couple fall in love and decide to get married, suddenly it's all about marriage. Have you noticed that? It consumes them. Sydney was on worship this morning, and Chris, who leads worship sometimes, they're getting married at the end of the year. And I often ask these days, where's Chris? And they go, oh, he's with Sydney. Why? I mean, why? What are they doing? I mean, he used to be a normal man, doing things men do. And now we go, where's Chris? Oh, he's with Sydney. Oh, Chris, can you come out? Oh, I've got to ask Sydney. What happened? She's ruined him. Jesus invites us to be his bride. And he invites us into his presence. And he wants to ruin us for the kingdom of God. He wants us to fall in love with him, to walk with him, to walk with in his presence. And Jesus has invited us to be his bride, and he says, where are you? Where are you, bride? And we're going, we're waking up, Lord. We're hearing the call. We're coming into your presence. We might be a bit dozy sometimes, but we're starting to raise a shout to heaven because your hand is on our life. We're coming towards you. Now look, the church, us, is where Jesus dwells. Okay, he's in us by the power of his Holy Spirit. But when we gather, he manifests his presence. Where two or three gather, there am I in the midst. It is a different dynamic. We carry his presence, but when we gather together as a people, he manifests himself. John 14. There is the glory of God comes, and we as a people need to stay in this presence. It is always the highlight of the morning. God's here. And you might be out there and you go, well, I don't feel anything. Nothing happens to me when I'm there. And I just want to say, well, shout. Shout. And you go, what do you mean? Shout. Well, in church. In church. Shout. Lord! I think I saw one of the girls. You know, this happened to one of our girls. We're almost done. This happened to one of her girls. She was praying, Lord, why don't I ever feel you? Why is nothing happening? It was an evening service. And she said, I just want to feel you. And somebody went over and prayed and she fell over. But as she fell over, she landed on her glasses and smashed them. And so she came around, I don't know how long, after 5 minutes, got up and went, oh, it's ruined it. Had an encounter with God and my glasses are smashed. Need them for everything. Then she opened her eyes and realized she didn't need her glasses anymore because she'd had an encounter with Jesus. That's happened twice now. Shout to the Lord. Come get me, Jesus. You can't whisper. That's why we call people forward to get saved. You can't whisper your way into the kingdom. Jesus says, come, come. Anybody says, come to me. You see, I'm going to close with this. I'm talking about this today because many, many of you are new. Some of you are here because you've given your life to Jesus. Some of you are here because Jesus is here. And I want to say to you, Jesus does a miracle in your life. Will you be back to give testimony? The answer is yes. If Jesus forgives your sin, will you be back to thank him? Yes. If Jesus transforms your life, will you give God the glory? Yes. And today he asks, where are you? And we say, here we are, Lord, glorifying God. We're on our face, thankful to you. We're getting ready for the marriage feast of the Lamb. You see, once we were lepers, once we were outcasts, once we were unimportant, nobody cared about us. Now, we are forgiven. We are sons and daughters of the living God. When we walk into the room, heaven notices. The angels notice. Once, no one cared. Now, the whole of heaven cares where we are and what we're doing. Jesus says, come into my presence. Come and know me. Don't whisper to me. Give a shout. You want a miracle? Call out. Call my name out, and I will come and move amongst you, just like he did just earlier, just like he's going to in a moment.